All right, and welcome to another episode of 2 Minutes, Dos Minutos. Today's episode promises to be really different and very, very special. I'm joined, as usual, by my friends Alf and producer Brian. But in addition to those two characters that always join me, we've got some very special guests. We like to refer to them as super fans. Now, what are they super fans of? Well, we'll soon find out about that, because I'm going to throw it now to Alf, who'll introduce our guests, and then we'll talk about what is today's podcast all about. Alf?
Mike, thank you very much. I mean, this is a special edition. We're doing the NFL draft predictions for the Miami Dolphins in the first round. And we've never done this before, and people have been asking us, hey, why don't we include all those loyal listeners out there? So we hand-selected two of them. We actually have two special guests, super fans of the show and super friends of ours. So as a matter of fact, let's just start off with the first one. Our first guest actually came from California when he started. He actually was a fan, an L.A. Rams fan from the Roman Gabriel era, if you remember. That's 50 years ago, Mike. And then the first stop he made here in South Florida was he saw the parade, the championship parade for the 1972 Miami Dolphins in Flagler Street with the pots and pans. Those were the original pot and pans celebrations. He was part of it ever since. He's been a huge fan. As a matter of fact, he is such a big fan that sports photography is his hobby. And he was in the sidelines for the Miami Dolphins, and he actually took pictures of his favorite players. And you'll see, if you're watching the actual show, you'll see one of his jersey number. It was Dan Marino. He took a picture of it. He actually has it signed by Dan Marino as one of his prized possessions. So he's a big super fan, not only of the show, but also super fan of the Dolphins. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Pablo from Hialeah.
Thank you, guys. Woo! Thanks, guys. Straight out of Hialeah. I appreciate you guys inviting me on the show. I'm a big fan, like you said, and I'm a big fan of the Dolphins. Ready to talk some, you know, draft and ready to get excited about the Dolphins this year.
Yeah, and then I see in the background you have the Tua jersey, number one, and the Dan Marino, number 13. You said you only own two jerseys, and those are the two.
That's correct. So that tells you my, you know, what I'm hoping for. You know, I had the first jersey I ever bought was Dan Marino's, and I haven't bought another one since then. And I just bought a Tua jersey last year. So that's my expectation. So let's see how we do. Let's see if we can help him out.
Those are high expectations.
Yes.
All right. So next, our next guest actually is a great friend of all three of ours. And we actually worked with him at a previous company. We've known him for over 30 years. He's a great, not only a great fan of ours, but he's a good friend as well. As a matter of fact, he's very interesting because he used to live in Miami, but he moved to North Dakota. So he's the president of the fan club of 2 Minutes, Dos Minutos in North Dakota. So, and he's actually come back to us. He actually listens to us. And you think about how we doubled our listeners while we were in hibernation. Well, you know, from North Dakota, we have fans all the way from North Dakota to who knows where. So as a matter of fact, he's been a great listener. He actually is hand-selected for this particular show. He's an NFL analyst for our show. Please welcome Alan from North Dakota.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, guys. It's good to see all your happy faces again. First-time caller, long-time listener. Looking forward to being able to contribute what little I can. So it's great to see you guys again. Glad to be here.
Alan, I got to tell you something about North Dakota. You know, it intrigues me because I thought North Dakota didn't have any human beings. And you're the being that I know in North Dakota. I thought it was just a place where wild bison roam and there's coyotes and all kinds of things. I mean, tell me a little bit about North Dakota.
Well, I can tell you there's a lot of German farmer Catholics up here. So there's a lot of people up here. You know, the Catholics, I've got a very, very large family. I'm the second youngest of 10. My dad was the oldest of 15. So moving back from Florida, back up here was kind of a culture shock. It was definitely a culture shock for my wife, who was an only child, moving up to North Dakota and dealing with all her in-laws. It's a beautiful area. In the summer times, the days are 14 hours long with the sunlight. We hope usually summers land on a weekend so we can actually go outside and do things. Rest of the year, it's kind of cold and dreary and kind of think of the movie Northern Exposure without the interesting characters is a good way to describe it. No, I love it. It's a beautiful, beautiful state, and I'm glad to be home with my family.
Very good. And by the way, I noticed in your background, you have a curling arena. Is that a big sport in North Dakota?
Curling is unfortunately very popular up here. It's a Canadian export, much like hockey. And unfortunately, it hasn't spread down to Florida like hockey has with your Panthers or Texas with, in Colorado. But we do have a lot of amateur curlers up here, and it's a very watched sport during the Olympics. The Winter Olympics, it's an Olympic sport, and a lot of people up here follow it. Not me, but a lot of people follow it.
Got it. All right, super. Well, Michael, there you go. We have two incredible people that help us analyze the NFL draft predictions for the Miami Dolphins. What do you think?
Well, I'm excited. I mean, these are two great friends, not only of our podcast, but they're great fans of the Miami Dolphins. And I have to say, this is a great year for us to have our Dolphins draft preview for a lot of reasons. You look at, first of all, the amount of draft assets that the Miami Dolphins have. They acquired so many in a trade with Laremy Tunsil when they sent him to the Houston Texans. But not only that, they've since made more deals. And that's where I want to start. And Alan, we'll start with you first. The Dolphins have already made two incredible trades, one with the 49ers and one with the Eagles, and they kind of pogo-sticked themselves in the first round. First they went down, then they bounced back up again. So, Alan, I want to ask you, what do you think about Miami moving down three spots ultimately? Do you think maybe they outsmarted themselves a little bit and took themselves out of an opportunity to get maybe they're one of their two top guys on the board? What do you think, Alan?
Well, first of all, I look at it as more of a three-team trade. A lot of people say, yeah, the trade was made with San Francisco, and then Miami turned around and traded that pick with Philly. But I think for all intents and purposes, both deals were made at the same time because they were announced within minutes of each other. Now, this draft, to me, now begins with the Atlanta Falcons at four. If they make a deal for somebody who's looking for a quarterback, then Miami's looking great. Atlanta could turn around and grab that tight end from Florida, Pitts, and then Cincinnati is now on the clock. If they take the wide receiver from LSU, Miami may have shot themselves in the foot. Looking at those two is probably the two biggest targets that Miami was looking for at this draft, thinking that moving from three to six would still be able to get them one of them, but save them some cap money in the process of paying for a six pick as opposed to a three pick. Like I said, the draft begins with Atlanta.
So, Pablo, let me ask the question to you again with the moving up and down. Do you think potentially the Dolphins might have their eyes on a couple of other players and without tipping their hand, they know that one of the guys that they're high on is definitely going to be there at six?
I think that's exactly right. That's exactly what I think. I'm with Alan as far as what could happen at four, and that really that's where everything starts. But I have the feeling that this organization right now with Flores at the helm and Greer are not really swayed by the tots of everyone saying, this guy's a generational tight end and this guy is the best wide receiver ever. I think they know who they want, and I think they knew they could get him at six regardless. And that's why they made that second move. That's my opinion. I don't know. I was going to send Alfredo an envelope with my pick, and I told him I decided not to because it really depends on what happens at four. But my pick was going to be Smith from Alabama. Just it makes sense on a lot of reasons. The connection with Tua, the fact that they let it trickle out there that Smith said that he liked this quarterback now at Alabama more than Tua. And I think that's a smokescreen. I think they wanted Tua all along. I'm sorry. I think they wanted Smith all along. So that's my take on it. Either way, I think they're going wide receiver, and I think they'll get a very good wide receiver at six.
All right. Alan, you want to jump back in here for a quick sec?
Yeah, I got a question for Pablo then. So if you think, and I don't argue with you on that, he is a great receiver, but do you think if Smith is their target, do you think they can get more trade value by moving down to, say, 10 or 11 with somebody who's looking for that quarterback that, you know, whether it's Denver or even Carolina at 8 might be looking to get another quarterback. Cowboys, I don't think they're going to be moving. One of those teams, I think if we trade down to like Denver at 9, who's looking for a quarterback, we could still get Smith and pick up an additional second round pick or an additional second and third round pick.
I agree with you there that there's talk of that down here possibly happening in there. And I think that's where they shoot themselves in the foot, because I think they made that second trade and lost some of that bounty that they got from San Francisco to get back to 6 and to trade down now. I think now it's a negative. At the end, it washes out as a negative. If they stay at 6, then they get the guy they really wanted, then okay, then it was a good move. If you trade down and you gave up all these assets to go up to 6, now you trade down and get the guy anyway, it seems to me like a loss.
Well, I'll just throw this out for anybody who wants to jump in on the conversation. I think it's certainly more than possible that the Dolphins are saying that they are listening to anybody that's interested in the number 6 pick in case someone is willing to give them a boatload of picks because that quarterback that they want is sitting there at 6. Think about it. Atlanta does hold the wild card right now. Atlanta, I think, can go one of 3 ways. They can go ahead and take their quarterback and Matt Ryan's successor, and then they're ready to go in the future. They could take Pitts, who, as Pablo said, I don't know if they're buying the hype, but it sounds like everybody's saying this kid is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of talent. Or they could, in fact, trade the pick, again, if someone is willing to give up enough for that number 4 quarterback. I think we're pretty sure the first 3 picks are going to be quarterbacks. So, you know, what happens at 4? We know at 5, the Bengals are not taking a quarterback. I mean, that's obvious. They took Joe Burrow number 1 last year. So they're not even in the equation. But between Atlanta and Miami, I think if Miami could move down a couple of spots and pick up a real boatload of treasure here, they might be willing to do it. I don't know if anybody has any thoughts on that.
Well, unfortunately, there are no Ditkas out there as general managers willing to give up their entire draft to move up to a 6. But, you know, not only with Atlanta being the wild card, it's the question of Detroit. Are they going to pick up that wide receiver, or are they going to pick up somebody to protect? Cincinnati, not Detroit.
Yeah.
Are they going to pick up that receiver, or are they going to pick up someone like Sewell to defend Burroughs? You know,
right.
You got a buttload of money invested in Burroughs. Are you going to protect him, or are you going to give him another weapon?
That's a good question, because Cincinnati, if you ask me, is in the same exact boat as Miami. So they've got a young quarterback, and boy, oh boy, they had his number 1 receiver sitting right out there. And do they want to take him? Miami's got their number 1 quarterback in Tua, and they've got his number 1 receiver sitting out there able to draft him. I find the two to be really, really interesting in how similar they can be with their strategies.
Those are two great parallels. I agree with you. And here's the difference between the two. I think Cincinnati needs to protect that quarterback that's already gotten hurt. And I think Miami needs to give Tua some weapons. It was obvious that he was one-dimensional. It was obvious that there was no separation. That was like our word of the day whenever we texted each other, you know, during games. It was like, there's zero separation for this guy. And at Alabama, his guys were wide open. He's just not used to throwing in tight places. Comparing him to Fitzpatrick, the gunslinger that would throw it anywhere at any time, was just not a fair comparison. This guy came out of college with his guys wide open all the time, and now they wanted him to throw it in there and pray that the guy would jump ball it, you know. So that's a great comparison. I just think that we're in two different spots, and I would hope that Cincinnati would protect their franchise quarterback with drafting Sewell. That's what I would say. It's going to be hard for them to pass on Chase, though. That's what I would say. And as far as trading back down, my only other comment is that to trade back down, I think the value there from whoever wants to move up to six, I read some things that it was comparable to a third round pick. So I don't know if anybody's going to go crazy and give them that much, like what we think would be worth it. I don't know. Maybe you guys can comment on that. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Well, it always comes down to what somebody's willing to pay. Right. I think at times teams can make irrational decisions based on what they see on the board right at that moment. And if somebody sees the fourth quarterback, whoever that is, Justin Fields, whoever that might be, out there and are convinced that that's their guy, maybe you can squeeze a little bit out of them. But okay, that's a great conversation about the Dolphins and their first pick at the top of the draft. Let's move now down a little bit to the second pick they have in the first round, which is at 18. A lot of speculation about what direction they might go, where they might go there. Early on in the conversation and when the draft talk started, most of what I read said they were going to look at Najee Harris from Alabama and were pointing towards a running back. As more and more draft talk has gone on, it sounds like Miami's, or at least the pundits, are thinking that Miami's moving off of that. Alan, what do you think as far as not necessarily who they would take, but what direction do you see them going at 18, given they get the man they want at six?
Although I live up here now, I'm still a Dolphin fan at heart. I'm very impressed with what the Alabama Crimson Tide has done as a college football team. But if you try to rebuild the Crimson Tide in the NFL, they're going to be an 8-8 team. I think reaching for a running back at that spot at 18 is too high, considering the value in the running backs from 1, 2, 3, and 4. You're gonna get a starter at 36 if that's what you're really looking for in a running back in a position. I think you have to go with the best available defender. Now, with these quarterbacks and these receivers stacking the board, you're going to see some incredible defensive talent slide. You may see a Caleb Farley or a Micah Parsons drop down there. You got to grab somebody like that. You got to grab an edge like Kwity Paye or even Jalen Phillips from the Canes. If they slide down to that position, Miami's got to grab a defender who makes a difference.
Pablo, what are your thoughts there, Pablo?
I'm 100% with you guys, with you, Alan. When we were starting to mock this amongst our friends, we were like, give Tua all the, be counterintuitive. Go ahead and take a first round, running back. I don't care what everybody says about there's good running backs. Get the one you want. And as we started analyzing it, here's what I thought about. This is what I thought about. I thought about defense wins championships. I don't care how good your offense is. At the end of the day, if you think about the last couple of Super Bowls, Kansas City was stacked, man, and they lost. They lost because Tampa Bay had a defense. And if you remember the LA Rams, they were the greatest show on turf, right? And guess what? New England beat them. And who was on that team that beat them? Flores. He was the defensive guy. So I see no way how that they're going to draft a running back, although we need a running back and it better be the next pick. And as Alan said, there's plenty of them there. There's three for sure. I'm hoping for Williams from NC State. But you know what? It has to be a defensive end. They lost a lot of sacks, when they let that guy go back to New England. I thought that was a very surprising move, but Flores is stone cold, man. He's stone cold. It's like, what have you done for me lately? And what does it look like for me? And that's what he's all about. So I think it's a defensive end, the best defensive end on the board. And as Alan said, there could be some really good ones there, whether it's Phillips, Paye from Michigan, the guy from Penn State, Owa, any one of those guys. I don't know. I think Alfredo was kind of high on Russo, but then he's kind of flipping over to Phillips. He's a big UM guy. So I'm good with any one of those. But yes, I agree with Alan, defensive end with the second pick.
Hey, Mike,
As I told our listeners, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Alan. Yeah,
I was going to say, on your next point, if you could go to Pablo first, so I can at least make up something to disagree so we can have a little bit of conflict here. I'll lie just to get some like fire going on here. I mean, I like the way Pablo thinks, but I think we should get some like animosity and it's a little fire going here. So I'll disagree with what he comes up with next.
I'll disagree with Alfredo.
Perfect.
What I wanted to say was at the beginning of the podcast, we told our viewers and our listeners how special of a podcast this episode is. I had no idea we were going to establish and break an all-time world record. The 2 minutes Dos Minutos podcast has now gone 16 minutes without a word from Alf. So, Alf, can you please get in here?
No, it was great analysis. I mean, that's the reason why I have these two special guests. Not only are they loyal listeners, but they're great analysts, too. I mean, you can just tell they've done their homework. But I can tell you this much. I think the Dolphins are pretty smart. They went from 3 to 12, and then they lost some of that bounty to go up to 6. That was done on purpose. There's at least 2 or 3 people that are interested in number 6. And they knew that at least the first 3 picks were quarterbacks because they traded with San Francisco. So they knew San Francisco was interested in a quarterback. So they know that on 6, they're sitting pretty. Now, let's just say Atlanta trades their pick and another quarterback gets selected. I want to ask this group, what happens when Cincinnati's on the board and they select an offensive tackle? Because in my opinion, they will do that because the last time we saw Joe Burrow, his leg was sideways or something. I mean, he was on the ground. So they need to protect that fella. That's the difference. Tua didn't go through that. So the next pick is Miami Dolphins. What do they do if Kyle Pitts is there, Jamar Chase is there, Devontae Smith, and Waddle is there? I'm going to ask the team here, what do they do?
All right, I'm going to let Pablo go first so Alan can disagree. Yeah. Go ahead, Pablo.
Yeah, I think, and you are going to disagree with me, but I'm sticking to my envelope. I'm saying they're taking Smith. I'm not believing the hype, and I don't think Flores and Greer are either. And I hear all the negativity about him being too light. The guy's got speed. The guy can run routes. The guy knows Tua, and Tua knows him. I think they want him so bad that they threw that smoke screen out there about how he didn't like Tua as much as he likes the quarterback there now. I think that's all smoke screen. I think that's the guy they wanted all along.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with you sincerely.
Of course.
The Florida Gators have the 5th best wide receiver out here in this draft who is likely going to go late in the first round, early in the second round, if not late in the first round, in Kadarius Toney. No one's talking about him. Why is no one talking about him? Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is not your typical tight end. He is built like a tight end, but he runs like a slot receiver. His hands. Now, I had the pleasure of just watching some of the highlights yesterday of the Gators pro day. And just on a side note, I think the Patriots are going to sit tight and go after Kyle Trask later in the second round or the third round, but that's neither here nor there. But I saw Kyle Pitts. I saw the size of those hands. And I said, if he's sitting there at 6, you can't pass him up. Especially now, remember the Dolphins have also picked up Will Fuller in free agency. There are some wide receiver needs that they've already met. But if you got somebody out there like Kyle Pitts, you can't let he's a Tony Gonzalez type player. He's a Hall of Famer in my personal opinion.
Yeah, Mike, and let me explain. There's a couple things here that we should know. And the reason why they're going receiver first time is because it makes sense. I mean, Pablo mentioned separation. Our best receiver, Devontae Parker, averaged 1.7 yards of separation from a player covering him. And Mike Gesicki, which is the second best receiver we have as a tight end, he was 2.0 yards of separation. And those are the lowest in the league. So we know if they're going to go they're going to go some kind of receiver. So if all these receivers are available, I think they both have great points, but I do think that there are a lot of receivers also later on in the draft. There's a lot of players that can be number one receivers in a team that have a lot of separation that can also be available for the Dolphins later on. As a matter of fact, one of the options is, this is kind of crazy, is if they do pick, let's say, Kyle Pitts, Kyle Pitts is available, that the Dolphins trade up and get another player, maybe a wide receiver, and then double up that way. So the number 18, they actually go up with number 18 and combine it with another pick, and they go up and get a receiver. That's the other option. So they can do all kinds of things in this draft. They really have a lot of capital to go up and down as they wish. And that's the one thing that I think they're going to play around with is maybe at 18 they don't stay. Whether they go up or down, that's one thing they're going to figure out, is that maybe the defensive ends that are available, the linebackers, they're already taken. And you know what? Maybe we'll just go down and get more picks, you know? So I think there's a lot of things out there. But they will pick a receiver with that number six, because I think they went out. They went from 3 to 12 to 6 for a purpose, and that was to pick the best receiver that have the best opportunity to select a player. So I think that's what they did.
That's a good point, Alfredo. They do have 2 second-round picks to play with in this draft.
I'll tell you what, I'm not going to – sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Pablo.
I am not going to poo-hoo Pitts if we get him. I'll be honest with you. My point though is I'm not sure where the timing of this double trade for Miami was and the ascension of Pitts as the Messiah. But I think early on when they made their decision to trade out of 3 that they were, I don't think Pitts was, maybe you guys can enlighten me. I don't think he was the end all be all that he is right now. So I'm wondering if he was ever their target. And that's my point. I just think Flores thinks differently. He doesn't fall for all the hype. Now, maybe it's not hype, Alan. You saw him. You saw what I didn't see. So, you know, one of our best friends, Pirate B, he wasn't here. He's not here today. But he was throwing that picture of Pitts in my face on a text. I think I have 700 pictures of Pitts on my phone. Every time that we talk,
send me a couple.
It's all the same one. I got to the point where I just gave up. I said, okay, I'm with you. I'm all in on Pitts, you know, but just to get him to shut up. But but anyway, I'm still picking a receiver, and I'm telling you, Al, if we get Pitts, I'll be happy. I'll be happy. Yeah.
No, by the way, I'm not saying that's an opportunity for them. They didn't really count on Pitts. I think I agree with you. I think they were up for a receiver, whether Pitts, by the way, let me tell you why I think that makes a little bit more sense, because there's not many tight ends like him. He did a 4.4 in the 40. It's flat. This just doesn't exist. He has the highest tight end grade in 40 years of tight end.
Can you name a linebacker in the league right now that can keep up with him across the middle at that speed? I can't.
Nobody. Agreed.
But Pablo, listen to this. If they have double tight ends, Pitts will assuredly get double bracketed. They'll get double teamed. And then Gesicki will be more open. Devontae Parker may be wide more open. They get another receiver in the second round or third round, you know, and it opens up the playbook, if you will, for everybody. Tua gets better, the receivers get better, and the whole team gets better, and they score. That's all I'm saying. But I'm not saying it's going to be – it's just going to present as an opportunity if he's available. I don't know if he'll be available. I have no idea.
But I agree. As Alan said, if he's there, they got to take him. I just don't think they were planning on getting him. That was my opinion. But if he's there, I wouldn't pass him up either. Absolutely.
Plan 1A, remember, they have all kinds of plans. They have all contingency plans. If this guy's available, these guys are available. You know what? It may be possible if the Kyle's there, Jamar, Devontae, they trade back and say, you know what? I don't care. I just grade them all the same. I'll just go back and get one of those. You know.
All right. Well, we've come to this. It is prediction time, guys. Now, next Thursday, we're all going to be together again. Producer Brian is working on a live stream so that we can watch the draft and stream our reaction to it. And there'll be more on that coming up through our social media network and circles. One way or the other, there is going to be a show next Thursday night. We're hoping it's going to be live and that our friends and fans can tune in. But it's prediction time now. So producer Brian, take some notes here. It's prediction time. We're all going to be back next Thursday. We're all going to know if we're telling the truth or telling lies. The first question I want to go around the horn is, will the Dolphins make a selection at number 6? Again, my question in another way could be, are they going to pick or are they going to trade? So are the Dolphins going to make a selection at number 6? I'll start us off. I'm going to say yes, they are going to make a selection at number 6. Alan, what do you say?
I'm going to come up. Yep, I'm going to come off mute here and say I agree with you, Mike. I think they're going to make a pick at six. I think one of their guys is going to be there.
Pablo, what do you got?
Sorry to not disagree, but I think they're staying pat six.
And Alfredo, what do you think?
They will make a selection at number six.
Okay. Next question. Who will the Miami Dolphins select with the number six pick in the first round of the 2021 NFL draft? I started the last round, so Alan, you can start this round. Who do they take at six?
Can I say in two names?
No, you cannot.
They got to take Kyle Pitts if he's there. That's all I can say. Kyle Pitts if he's there.
Okay, Pablo, what do you got?
And Kyle Pitts is not going to be there. I'm taking Smith from Alabama.
And Alfredo, who do you have?
Jamar Chase.
Ooh. I am
going to agree. I'm going to go with Alf. I'm going to say Jamar Chase is going to be there, and we're going to take him at number six.
Yeah, so, he was my number two, just saying. Right, he was my number two.
His 40 is 4.38, and he was the best receiver in 2019. He just looked amazing.
Yeah. You know, remember, he didn't play at all last year. He chose not to play because of the COVID pandemic. So we don't have any fresh eyes on the guy. But if you remember him from a year ago, the guy was awesome. So, all right. So now let's move on to that second pick. So a lot could happen between 6 and 18. Let's just all of us assume that the Dolphins are going to pick at 18.
Okay. Who,
this is the tough one now. Who do the Dolphins take at 18? Pablo, I'll go to you first.
The best defensive end that's there. And we talked about this a lot. You know, all our friends talked about this a lot. Either the guy from Michigan Pay or one of the two UM guys, I guess the guy that's trending now is Phillips. But I would take the best defensive end with the best chance of, you know, putting pressure on the quarterback. Defense wins championships. You got to go defense. You got to go defensive end. I mean, if Parsons is there, that would be awesome. But if not, I'm taking.
Well, remember, you can only pick one. You can't. Yeah. Don't pull an Allen here and try to pick two.
Okay,
I'm hold you to your first.
And don't pick my guy.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Phillips from UM.
Okay, I'll go next. The Dolphins made a curious move not too long ago in releasing one of their linebackers. And so it was a little bit of a head scratcher. So I think at 18, I'm going to go where Pablo was headed with the, if not, then this. I'm going to say they're going to go with Micah Parsons on that 18 pick, only because of that squirrely move they made in that linebacker release. Alfredo, you're up next.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was going to say the same thing as you. Micah Parsons, in my opinion, is the best defensive player in the draft. And I think, I don't know if he'll be available at 18, but that will be my selection if he's available.
All right. And Alan?
He's a top 10 talent in this draft, but with the receivers and quarterbacks being taken off the board, he's going to slide to Miami. I'm going with Parsons.
All right. Outstanding. Well, guys, this has been a really fun edition of the 2 Minutes Dos Minutos podcast. You all both have been outstanding guests, and we'd love to have you back on again. We know we're going to have you back on next Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait.
Absolutely.
I'm really excited and fired up about our special draft show, and I thank you guys for being a part of it. Alf, any final thoughts?
Mike, this was fantastic. I really enjoyed our two guests. They did wonderful, great analysis, and I think we should do more of this in the coming future.
All right. Well, Alan and Pablo, last words from you, please. Alan first.
It's been an honor being here. It's been great seeing you guys again. Look forward to talking to you next week. You've taken up entirely too much of my time. It's been a pleasure.
Pablo?
Thank you very much, guys, for inviting me. Be happy to be back as many times as you want to have me. And, I'll try to disagree more often.
sounds great. Yeah. Well, again, thank you so much, everyone, for watching or listening to the 2 Minutes Dos Minutos podcast. We do appreciate all of your support, and we love doing the show for you all. So thanks again, and we'll be back next week It's draft night next Thursday night. Take care, everyone.